You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
Welcome to those watching online this morning, including my husband who dared me to say hello to him. Alrighty, so we're at week three of our series called A Discipleship Culture. For some reason, this microphone is just popping a little. Sorry about that. We're exploring the lifestyle of discipleship, or what I want to call being the gospel. And we're having a look at what that looks like. And if you've missed the last week or two, I encourage you to listen online and get up to date. But don't forget, there's also this booklet that Pastor Steve's put together that you can have a look at in your small groups or at home individually. So next week we're going to have a break from this series, and we're going to have Richard bring a Father's Day message to us all, and I encourage you to be there, bring your friends, bring your family, and don't miss that. And then the following week we'll pick up on this series again. All right. So we've been looking at the ways, the works, and the words of Jesus. And Jesus has put the mission of God into the hands of ordinary, everyday people. That's you and me. None of us miss out. We all have a part to play. And this mission is simple, it's teachable, and it's repeatable. We can all do it. In fact, we're all called to do it. We are on mission for and with Jesus as we live that discipleship life. So, as we've said over the last couple of weeks, this lifestyle is characterized by prayerfully looking for people of peace, building relationships with people, doing that afraid. Remember, Jesus said to the disciples that he met, come and see where I stay, spend some time with me, get to know me. And then reading the Bible with that person, hopefully taking them on a journey towards salvation. Remember that little scale we had a couple of weeks ago where we saw that we can, or Jesus may use us to move someone from a -3 to a -1 in their discovery journey towards salvation. But then he might use someone else to move that person from a -1 to a 2. It's not all up to us. And we also know that it's not a sprint. This is a marathon. And Paul talks about running the race. It's a journey. It's a marathon. Jesus was also praying, talking to his Father, and going about his Father's business. As if it's good for Jesus to do it, I think it's good for us too, don't you reckon? Yeah. So as we're in communion with Jesus and daily being filled with the Holy Spirit, we live our lives every day looking for where God is already working in people, and then we just join him in that work. We're asking the Holy Spirit, what are you saying, Lord? And what should I do? And we're looking for those people of peace that the Holy Spirit puts in our path. Remember, those people of peace are people who like you, who listen to you, and who will serve you. But of course, we don't know if someone likes us or listens to us or even will serve us unless we get to know them first, do we? So it's all about relationship. We saw in week one that Jesus' first encounter with the disciples wasn't at their fishing boats where he called them to follow him. But it was actually when Jesus invited them to come and see, as I've already said, to come and see where he was staying, to come and spend time with him and get to know him. And the Bible says in John 1:39 that they spent the day with him. Okay, so we've prayed. The Holy Spirit has directed us to a person of peace. We've built relationship with that person. The next step is to ask them to read the Bible with us. How easy is that? Or I can tell by your response, maybe it's not so easy. Milo spoke to us last week about how many things we do in life that are not easy. In fact, we probably do them afraid, don't we? Remember, he told you about my distinct lack of a love for flying. The truth is that at takeoff, at any turbulence, at landing, my prayer life heightens by about a billion levels, if that's possible. And my anxiety levels are completely through the roof. But it doesn't stop me from flying because, one, I love my husband and he is a ridiculous travel fan. But I do it afraid with and in my Heavenly Father's strength. What kinds of things do you do afraid? Every day. I'm sure there's lots. Milo reminded us of Philippians 2:12, which ends, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." But that's not the end of that sentence. Verse 13 finishes it by reminding us that it is God who works in us to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purposes. It's God who works in us, not us that works. It's God that works. It is God who is already working in our people of peace. It is through the Holy Spirit that we are led to those people he is already working in. And it is with his strength and through his love that compels us that we can build relationship and ask someone to read the Bible with us. Even though we may, or should I change that to we will, be doing it afraid. Because it's kind of not really natural, is it, in our human strength? I love the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:14 that Milo also mentioned last week, which says, "Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all." And I encourage you to read that whole passage in your own time. He explained the origins of this word compel, and you can listen again to that online. But if we took a look at the simple definition from the Britannica Dictionary, we see that it means to force someone to do something or to make something happen. Jesus' love makes something happen because we can't really contain that, can we? In other words, because of Christ's work of love and grace on the cross that we have received and remembered with the elements of communion this morning, we can't help it. We are constrained or compelled to be living vessels of Christ's love. And thank you, Sean, for that reminder today. The work of salvation, however, is done by the Holy Spirit. And how good is that? It's nothing of our own works so that we can't boast, but it's the work of Christ through us. And we surrender to his ways, his works, and his timing. In a few minutes, we're going to have a look at one simple way that we can read the Bible with someone even that doesn't know Jesus yet. But before that, I want to look at this notion of God's time. Of course, we can easily spend a whole sermon on this subject, but we only have time to look at it for a brief moment. How many of us, I wonder, find it easy and natural to follow God's time rather than our own? Anyone? No, I better put my hand down too. Definitely not me. Well, I want to have a look at a parable that Jesus taught in Matthew 13. It's the parable of the weeds. Let's read it together from verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.' In this parable, Jesus says the weeds and the wheat are to grow together until the harvest, or until the right appointed time, God's appointed time. In another passage in Luke 1:20, the angel Gabriel says to Zechariah, after he has told him that he and his wife will be parents of John the Baptist, "And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." There's this notion of God's time. According to the Strong's lexicon, this particular type of time is mentioned 86 times in the New Testament. And there are more examples in your little booklet if you've got one of those. In the Greek, the word for this time is kairos. Kairos time is God's appointed time, the specific time in the purposes of God, a God moment, we could say. We live our everyday earthly existence of years, hours, and days, which is described by the Greek word chronos. But this is different. Of course, it's important to follow our earthly time, otherwise the world would not go round. But as Christians, and from a spiritual point of view, our perspective must be that we are sensitive and attentive to the kairos moments where God is working. When is that God moment or kairos opportunity in your world? Ephesians 5:15 to 17 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." And Colossians 4:5 also says, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." How often we are either surprised by these moments, or how often we miss these moments because we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. Or sometimes, or maybe often, we think we know better than God about when these moments should be, even when we're praying for something to happen. Many times Jesus referred to this time when proclaiming the good news. For example, in Mark 1:15, he says, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe." See, this kairos time, this God-appointed time of repent and believe, is part of the discipleship lifestyle, isn't it? We do it every day. We repent and we believe. We wake up in the morning, again, we repent and we believe by the end of the next day. And again the next day. Daily we are called to repent and believe, to deny ourselves and seek to become like Jesus. We're constantly praying for the renewal of our mind and hearts so that once again we will be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can make disciples. I'm quoting from Steve in the booklet, "God intends for us to be on a journey of continuous, ongoing growth. Each time we repent and believe, we draw closer to the kingdom and become more like Jesus in character." In our discipleship lifestyle, then, our time is viewed a little differently. We are not here to ram as much of the gospel down someone's throat as quickly as we can. We are to pray. We are to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We are to wait. And we're to listen for that kairos time, that God moment. And then we allow Him to do the work of salvation. It's kind of hard for us, isn't it? To wait, to allow God, to pray in the doing. Because we don't just sit back and wait and do nothing either. But we wait for God's time. In John 6:28 to 29, Jesus' disciples asked him, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" And what did Jesus say? The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And that means even leaving the timing of when someone accepts the gift of Jesus' love and repents and believes to him. Our job is simply to believe and then to follow the example Christ set for us. So as we look at the ways, the words and the works of Jesus, our discipleship lifestyle is one of, and we've already said it a few times now, prayer, looking and waiting for people of peace, building that relationship carefully, slowly. Come and see, spend the day with me, get to know me. That's what Jesus did. And then asking someone to read the Bible, seeking Jesus for that Kairos moment, that God timing, that becomes a human opportunity.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.